Wow, it's a big crowd. May we bow our heads in a word of prayer before we start. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that no matter what, you are faithful, you're here. Thank you that we can gather today to look into your word, to you to look into our hearts, and give us what we need. And deal with me, that when I bring forth your word, it would not be me, it would be you. So Lord, deal with us, deal with those who can't make it but want to be here. Deal with those who are not here and don't want to be here. Put it all together, our God, for your honor and your glory, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name, amen. This is the Christmas season and New Year's season. Christmas comes, and Christmas goes. And what happens afterwards? People go to the store, buy gifts, exchange gifts. And then Alan shared with us again, and you know, you go to the store the following day or Monday, and they're already starting to celebrate Valentine's Day. They've already forgotten about Christmas. What happens after Christmas? New Year's Day is coming pretty soon, and people are going to be celebrating. Times Square, the ball is going to drop. Start the new year. And I can't figure out why that would be exciting, watching a ball drop. A ball, to me, when you drop, it's an error. I want to be looking up, not looking down. But I understand that was for navigational purposes in maritime, to let you know when the time was set, when it was changing. What does the world do with the Christmas message and New Year's Day? They sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. What happens afterwards? What happens after they sing the song? What happens after the celebrations, New Year's? The confetti, street sweepers clean the confetti up. What happens? Well, you look at the news and you see, there we go again, back to the same thing again. People fighting each other, there's crime, all kinds of things. What happened to the new year? What happened to the Christmas spirit? It was generated by man. Man's trying to do it, and it will not work. It will not work. By the way, there is no special day to receive the Lord. Now is the day of salvation. You don't need a special day to do that. What are some of the reminders for the new man in Christ? The world's looking for a new year, looking for Christmas, and then they start all over again to celebrate the following year. What happens after these things happen? Nothing. In fact, things get worse. I'm going to ask you a question. People get excited about the holidays. Oh, they're joyful and happy and all excited about it, but it disappears. What happens when we read or hear God's word and we get excited about God's word? We read God's word and we get excited. Do we continue to be joyful? Or, just like the world, it passes and you forget. And you let it go. Are we joyful? Are we thankful? Are we excited when we hear God's word? Does that continue in our lives? I remember when I was a little kid in D.C. growing up, and one Christmas, we could only get one gift, my brother and I. And we had a pair of roller skates. And my brother got a pair and I got a pair. We didn't have to share a pair of roller skates. And that was the greatest gift we had, one gift. We were so excited. These are the old time roller skates, not roller blades. Well, you know what I'm talking about. We rode up and down the sidewalks. You didn't go on the streets too much because D.C.'s just, you just don't do those kind of things back in the day. We rode up and down the sidewalks. We careful going across the street. Then we go into other neighborhoods, riding up and down. We were excited. We'd get up early in the morning and we'd start riding those roller skates, up and down, up and down. We were so excited about that gift. I remember riding it so much that the ball bearings came out of it and I fell and had to replace the wheels on it. And we had little keys that we could tighten the skates up and everything. Some of you may remember that. I know you do. And we used to tighten them up and put new ones on. But after a while, those roller skates got old. They got old. We put them away. We weren't excited about them anymore. God's gift to us does not get old. It does not get old. If you come to know the Lord, you have the gift, the most precious gift that you could ever receive, Christ Jesus himself. Dying on Calvary's cross for all of our sins, being buried and rising again, and he's coming back for us. The greatest gift that anyone could ever receive is Christ Jesus and his work on Calvary's cross. It never gets old. It's everlasting life. Does everlasting life get old? No. Doesn't get old. Timeless. Turn to John 3:16. Throughout this message, I'm going to be giving you some reminders. Some of you have heard these words before, but they don't get old. God's word does not get old. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't say diminishing life, everlasting. It's a long, 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 long time. Long. The Christmas message and the Easter message go together. If you really want to know what Christmas is about, you have to connect Easter and Christmas together. But the world looks at Christmas exchanging gifts, but they miss the gift. Why? Why did Christ come? Why? The Christmas message and Easter message go together, and if you get that, understand it, receive him, you become the new man. The world's looking for a new year, but if you receive the Lord, you're a new man in Christ. Turn to Romans 3. In verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every single one of you, including me. People that live in your home, people live next door to you, people that you see when you go to work, people on the street, wherever you go, they have sinned. And I shared with you my testimony how, before I was saved, how I was. And apart from Christ, I'm the same way. I'm still that wicked person. Still the same way. But I have a choice. I can listen to the old man. That's my old nature. Or the new man, Christ in me. I have that choice. And you have that choice too. To decide who are you going to follow? Who are you going to let lead you? Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's a gift. How are you going to pay for your wages of sin? How's the world going to do it? You can't. And you know what? The world is going to get what they deserve. And I deserve what they get. But thankful the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. He paid the price for me. He paid the price for you if you received them. That doesn't get old. That doesn't get old to me. That stays fresh. The cross of Calvary. Wow. It means a whole lot to me. The more I grow in the Lord, the more I see how wicked I can be. How wicked I am apart from Christ. And he died for me. Very special. Very special to me. And to think that I deserve eternal damnation, separation from God, I do. I do. But because of his work on Calvary's cross, I won't. I won't. Looking back at my past, I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Turn to Psalm 40. In verses 1 through 3, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. My cry. My cry. The choir sang, and a baby cried. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He put a new song in my heart. And as he put a new song in my heart, I can sing it through my mouth. But it's the heart. That's where the song is. The song should be in your heart too. And it's a new song. Doesn't get old. Doesn't get old. The more you love the Lord, let him love you. It's new. Newer and newer. Fresher and fresher. By the way, Calvary's cross doesn't get old either. There are no cobwebs on Calvary's cross. So if you have not received the Lord, there's still room for more. Still room. Still room. Turn to 2 Corinthians 9. In verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You cannot find the words for God's gift. All we can do is say thank you. Receive him and say thank you. I have the gift and the gift has me. I'm letting God possess me. And I'm possessing him. Are you letting God possess you? Doesn't get old. Doesn't get old. But the world, like I said, Christmas comes and goes. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day comes and goes. And they're back to the same thing. It gets old to them. Gets old. That's like my roller skates got old, threw them away. It was exciting. What are we doing with the gift of Christ? Have we rejected him? Have you received him? The world, if you're not saved, you're part of the world. You have rejected, they have rejected Christ. I'm going to read something to you that my wife had saved from a lady's tea back in June 1st, 1984. Which do you choose? You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to live for God. You don't have to be forgiven, nor be cleansed in Jesus' blood. When beyond the shining portals, all the ransomed meet at last, you don't have to be among them when the fight on earth is past. Though the Savior died on Calvary, yet his pardon none need know. Though the Spirit now is striving to the Lord, you need not go. Though a mother up in glory for your soul may plead and pray, you don't have to go to heaven, need not tread the narrow way. You can choose eternal anguish, live the life that suits you best. Turn your back on heavenly treasures, vainly seek for peace and rest. God will never make you serve him, never force you to be saved. You can go to judgment Christless, though your path with prayers be paved. How is your story on earth going to end? And at times, we've had the illustration. This is our life. One day of your life already passed. The next day, pass. Today, pass. What's going to happen at the end of your story? If you know the Lord, you already know where you're going to go, where you're seated right now. You already know. But if you don't know the Lord, there's still room for more at the cross. At Christmas time, right after Christmas, you go into the stores and you see people returning their gifts, exchanging them, big long lines to do that. God doesn't take his gift back. When you receive him, he doesn't take it back. He can't. Think about that. You can't take it back. We take gifts and we exchange and we give them back. God won't. If I let God love me, I must change. If I let him love me, I must change. It's a growing process. A growing process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a continual thing. And just like the world, they had Christmas and New Year's is coming, and they let it go. It's not growing. It can't sustain itself. The joy that they come up with, it cannot sustain itself. Turn to Ephesians 4. In verse 22 and 23, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the former, the old man. Dress from the inside, not the outside. God has saved you. There's a new man in you. Christ is in you. Let him glow from within. If you're a fireman, policeman, or whatever, you see them wearing uniforms. They're dressed on the outside. But that's not on the inside of the person. We want to be dressed from the inside out, letting God show forth himself in us. Turn to Romans 8. Now, that doesn't mean putting on church clothes and carrying your Bible, dressing up from the outside. You're not fooling God. In verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God wants us to be Spirit-filled daily, every day, every day. You eat every day, you breathe every day. God wants us to be Spirit-filled. Let him work in our hearts every day, every moment. Not just on occasions. Times are hard, times are easy, all the time. Be spirit-filled. Read his word. Let his word work into your heart. These are just reminders. Just reminders that you already know. Another day is ending. Another year is ending. The clock ticks for my body, but not my soul. Same for you. Each and every one of us here are going to go somewhere when the body is terminated, or unless the rapture comes. We're coming to New Year's Day. The world steps back, reflects on what they did last year, what they could do the coming year. Maybe I could be a better person. Maybe I could get better health. Maybe I could be better to my next door neighbor. Those are the resolutions that they come up with. But if you notice, New Year's Day is a celebration of survival to the unsaved. I made it. I made it through another year. I survived. That's really what they're saying. That's really what they're saying. Think about it. And at work, they have to have a happy hour at the end of the week. I made it through the week. I survived. And go through another year. I survived another year. We're so happy. We're so happy. But what happens the following day after that New Year's Day? Back to the same thing. What happened to the joy? What happened to these resolutions that they were going to do? They make resolutions to help them survive because they feel that they have more control over their life because they don't have control of death. They know they're going to die, each of us, unless the rapture comes. They don't know. So what they do is try to have some kind of control over their lives and have a resolution. Resolutions have no place for the new man in Christ. Not at all. We want God's will for our lives. That's what we want. We want God to direct our lives, to guide us into what he'd have us to do. Not what we want to do. What he wants us to do. I'm going to give you some reminders. There are more in the Bible. I'm just going to give you a couple today. And remember, these are not resolutions. The new you in Christ has God's promises in his word. Turn to Hebrews 10. In verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After you have done the will of God, you receive the promise. After. What happens to the world after Christmas, after New Year's? Nothing. Probably gets worse. But after we have done the will of God, we will get his promises. That's not me speaking. That's from his word. After we have done it. So we have to do our part. Daily. Not just once or twice a year. Once a week. Every day. Every day. Stay close to the Lord. God's word and promises are every day. Every day. Doesn't take a day off. He doesn't make a promise and says, well, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you have this promise. Rest of the week, I don't know, you're on your own. It's not like that. God gives us his promises. We have to do our part. After we have done the will of God, turn to 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The world's looking for a new year. If you're in Christ, you're a new man, new creature in Christ. Behold, all things are become new. The things that you used to do in the past, you no longer doing those things. You have the option to live in a new man each and every day. Not just once a week, twice a week, every day. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not when you feel like it. Every day. Every day, every moment. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Each of us have a time limit, expiration date on our bodies. You don't know the expiration date. God knows. You didn't know when you're going to be born. You don't know when you're going to expire. You don't know when the rapture is going to come. But the inward man is renewed day by day. The new man lives, has everlasting life, continues to grow in the Lord. Renewed, renewed, not getting older and older. Bodies get older, creaky. Eyesight starts to fail. Don't let that discourage you. Your knees don't work right. Your mind sometimes goes. You can't think, can't remember. That's why I have notes. Can't remember things, but God remembers everything. Christ in you. That's what we're focusing on. He is who we're focusing on. Not the old man. The old man's going to get you depressed, all kinds of problems, confused, you name it. Look at the world. Look where they're headed. Angry, confused, diabolical. All kinds of theories that don't make sense. That's the old man. And apart from Christ, we, I, you would be doing the same thing. I know I would be. I know I would be. But thank you for the cross of Calvary. Psalm 68. Don't let this be the only time you read your Bible. Don't let there be cobwebs on your Bible at home. Don't let there be any cobwebs on your heart either. 68, Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Daily. He does this daily, and he wants to do this daily if we're in his will. If you go against God, he's not going to bless you. You're asking for the opposite. You're asking for discipline from him. But you can get things right with the Lord. Acts 17. Starting with verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, that's so great to have your own Bible, to read it, not only here, but at home. Even here, keep your Bible open. Read it. follow along. Suppose I read the wrong verse or I switched a word in there. Not intentionally, but you could read that for yourself and that word is not going to change, but the word will change you if you believe God's word. Let God be God in your life. And they searched the scriptures daily. Not just Christmas time, Easter time, New Year's, you name it, the world names it. No, daily, daily. Lamentations 3. And I'm going to start with verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. I'm so thankful for his mercies. Before I was saved, you would not imagine me even reading a Bible or being in a church or being calm. I was an angry person, angry, then rebellious. And I share with you some of the things I did, which I am not proud of, but the Lord saved me from that. And I thank him for that. And it's a good reminder, too, because that's the way I used to be. That's the way I used to be. I don't want to be that way anymore. Don't want to be. But his mercies is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great. He's faithful. Give me that his mercy. Even when we mess up. We mess up. We do. His mercies are still new. We got to keep ourselves right. God is so merciful to us. I mean, have patience with me. I don't know about you, but patience with me. Wow. That's why who he is. The trust I had yesterday, the faith that I had yesterday, was only good for yesterday. Same with you. Have to start anew. Refresh. Start over every day and continue to trust in him. Trust his word. Be believing. Not like once a year or twice a year. Every day. Every day. The world is looking for joy and peace this coming year. We already have our joy and peace in the Lord. The moment we were saved, we have joy and peace. He is my joy. He is my peace. He is your joy. He is your peace if you know the Lord. He's the great I am. Discover more and more how great he is. And situations in your life, day by day, let him work in your life and see how great he is. You could not plan the things God has for you. You can't. When you keep your heart right, God does a wonderful work in your heart. Great work. Great. Great, great God. Wow. Turn to Romans 15. In verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Filled with all joy. That's his joy. He is our joy and peace in believing. And not only that, you abound in hope. Abound in hope. Not skimpy about it. He tells you right off. He abounds. He'll bound in hope. That hope. He is our hope. John 15. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, his joy, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Doesn't say, well, I'll be a little stingy with the joy. I'll give you a little dose of it. He says, be full. His joy, not the joy of the world. The world doesn't have any joy. That's the reason they are where they are. They don't have Christ. We do, if you know the Lord. 1 John 1. In verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. God continually tells you that he wants the joy that we have in him to be full. Full. So why are people walking around with funny faces, like they're distraught, bothered, confused? Where's the joy? If you know the Lord, where's the joy? Who is your joy? Who is your joy? Are you letting the new man grow inside of you, be renewed, and show on the outside? There's nothing wrong with the new man. Maybe you're not letting the new man be new. You're letting the old man take control. These are not resolutions. These are just reminders for me. For you, maybe, but I apply them to myself first before I give it to you. It's got to be real. He is real. Jude 24. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless, faultless without any error or sin, not even a smidgen of it, none of it, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Wow, exceeding. We can't imagine exceeding what God means by exceeding. Our minds are so limited. We can think exceeding means this, exceeding means that. But when we get there in his presence, we're going to say, if we say, wow, I don't know, but we want, it's unspeakable. It's unspeakable. His joy, his peace, unspeakable. Isaiah 26. In verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Is your mind trusting in the Lord? Is your mind stayed on the Lord? Then, he says, he will keep you in perfect peace. It's a promise and it's true. He's true. We have to do our part. Not just once a year. Not after we read God's word, hear God's word, we put it aside and forget. No, 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 no. No, don't forget. Don't forget. Colossians 3. In verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Like an umpire, we've had that explanation before. I had a sports background, have the umpire, and umpire calls. Let the peace of God be the umpire of your life. And be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful in what the Lord has for you. What happens in your life, and it's his will. Be thankful. Don't be grumbling. Don't get upset. Don't think you have a better plan than God has for your life. Have peace with what God has. Let him work it out. The situations that are in your life, God is aware of them. But let God work in your heart in those situations. Don't let the situations control you or me. The new man. Let him speak to your heart. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. John 16. Verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God said, we're going to have tribulations in the world. We're going to have tribulations in our own heart, apart from Christ. And it says, you might have peace. It means you may have peace. You will have peace. I remember as a little kid, I used to say, we were taught, may I be excused? Meaning, do I have permission? Yes, you may be excused. Doesn't mean maybe you be excused. You have permission. You have the right to. I'm going to read you something that, an article, The Absorbing Object of the Heart. Only Christ can give joy and comfort, peace and rest to the hearts of those who are his. The days are evil and the time is short. Is your heart increasingly attracted to that worthy name? Do you have a greater burning desire in your heart for himself? Does he, that worthy name, become more and more, day by day, the absorbing object of your heart and life? Do you often weep over your cold-heartedness, your lack of real devotion to him and communion with the Lord? Do you appreciate him more than ever before? Is the apostle's longing cry that I might know him coming also from your heart? These are searching questions. A better knowledge of our blessed Lord, a deeper acquaintance with that worthy name, and greater devotion to him is the only spiritual progress which counts. If you live but little in the reality of all this, you lack that joy and rest, which is true Christian joy, and the spirit is grieved. Oh, let him unfold to your heart that worthy name and show you from his word his wonderful person. Then his power will attract your heart more and more. One more moment. Don't get caught up in the tribulations of the world. These are some trying times. Don't get caught up in the tribulations of the world or the tribulations of your own heart. Keep your heart right with the Lord daily. Don't take a day off. God doesn't take a day off. Doesn't take a day off. So don't you. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, these times are hard. You're going through some hard times, but they're only for a moment. They seem like they're long times. It's for a moment. But they work as for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When we get there with him, wow, we won't even think of this. It'll be worth it. 1 Corinthians 15, thinking about a moment now. In verses 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. That does not get old. And as we close this time, let's turn to Revelation 22. And as the world looks at Times Square for that ball to drop, let's look, verse 20. He which saith these things saith, he that which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus.